And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis 1:28. I am Rob West. That verse presents what's often called the creation or cultural mandate, which in turn is the foundation of whole life stewardship. I'll talk about those ideas today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, the cultural mandate. What is that exactly? Well, it's the very first set of orders given to man in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Ironically, the cultural mandate found in the Bible is about 180 degrees opposite of what the culture of the world is teaching and preaching today. To those, many of whom worship creation over the Creator, man is a blight upon the world. They would like man's presence reduced, population limited, carbon footprint shrunk. To some, this presents a conundrum. What are we to believe? God's word or, quote, experts who've been warning us about imminent starvation for over 200 years now? Englishman Thomas Malthus first predicted it in 1798. I think we should consult the owner on this, and it's not us. The Bible makes clear that as the Creator, God owns everything. 1 Corinthians 10:26 teaches, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Psalm 50 verse 10 reads, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. And yes, God even owns us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 reads, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Now, even though God owns the world and everything in it, He's given it all to man to act as His stewards, fill the earth and subdue it. We also find in Psalm 115:16, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. And in a somewhat narrower context, we have Joshua 1:30, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. There, God was giving all of Canaan to the Israelites, as was His right to do. So, God created everything, including us. He owns everything, including us. And He's told us to subdue and have dominion over the earth, to be His stewards. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, this is where the concept of whole life stewardship comes in. God didn't tell us to be stewards on weekends only. Our stewardship hours of operation are not listed in the cultural mandate. We're to be stewards 24/7. God didn't tell us to be stewards only of the money we decide to give back to His kingdom, not just a tithe, but the other 90% of our increase as well. We're to use it all wisely and in a way that glorifies God. As Larry Burkett liked to say, every spending decision is a spiritual decision. Finally, God did not tell us to be stewards only with our time and money. They're very important, but they're not the only resources God has given you. You also have skills, talents, and interests, all on loan from God, you might say. God created us in His image, and He wired each of us in a unique way. For example, some of us are good with numbers and actually like math. Others can take practically any appliance apart, replace a broken part, and put it back together so it works. That's a gift. Some people can learn a new language as adults quite easily. Well, for most of us, that's a difficult, time-consuming thing to accomplish. Some people have patience with children and adults who act like children, far beyond what seems humanly possible. That is truly a gift from God. Now, it would be impossible to list all of the different skills, abilities, and interests that God has given us, but we don't have to. The important thing is for you to discover what yours are and then begin using them for kingdom work if you aren't already. God has been incredibly generous with us to the point of even giving us his only Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be saved and enter into heaven. God wants us to be generous as well, to use the resources he's given us, time, treasure, and talents, to make the world a better place. He wants us to share in the joy of doing kingdom work that extends far beyond a tithe. You see, folks, he wants us to be whole life stewards. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Stick around. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Summer is well upon us, and if you're like most people, that means you're doing a home project. Painting, landscaping, remodeling a room, something about the summer months just invites renovation. And there's such a wonderful feeling looking at a finished project and thinking it a job well done. Paul told us that the Lord has begun a good work in us, and he's working even now to finish the job. And when he does, after a lifetime of following Jesus and walking with him, we'll hear these words from Matthew 25, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The long process of perfection in Christ, he works, we simply follow right behind. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he prayed for them and sought to encourage them, even though he was writing them from prison. We'll examine Paul's extraordinary prayers, the privileges believers enjoy, and the proper perspective we should find in suffering this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's right. You can reach us today with lines open right now at 800-525-7000. You know, as we begin a new week, we'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about financially today, help you apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles and passages, so we can help you move forward with today's financial decisions. We know you're constantly thinking about the things you have to manage as you live, give, owe, and grow. And by the way, those are really the only four things you can do with money. The seemingly unending decisions you make around money really fit into those four categories. The money we live on, that's our lifestyle spending. The money we give away, the money we owe for debt and for taxes, and the money we grow, the money we save for the future, whether that's for the short term with our emergency fund, maybe it's a medium-term goal like saving to buy a house or a car, or longer term like retirement. We want to take all of those, look at the principles that we see in Scripture, and apply that to the decisions and choices we're making right now. We do that together each day, and we've got some lines open for you with calls coming in right now. Still a few lines remain, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd also love to tackle your email questions. We receive those from you every week at askrob@faithfi.com. And whenever you have an email question, feel free to send those along. We'll try to get one or two on the air each day, so we can help you navigate the questions you're wrestling with. In fact, let's take one of those right now. Daniel writes to us. He says, we recently purchased a home and had a child. Now we will need a new roof and a new furnace this winter. We do not have an emergency fund at the moment. Is there a way to handle this without going into more debt? Daniel, I appreciate that question very much. I know things can be tight, especially when you're just starting your family, you've purchased a home, inflation is probably not making things easier, and now perhaps this new roof and new furnace kind of came out of left field. This underscores, of course, the need to build up that emergency fund in the future. That's not going to help you today. So the best thing you can do to handle this would be to delay these repairs as long as possible, giving you time to save for them. So does the furnace still work? Can you make limited repairs to get through another winter or two? Is the roof actually leaking? If not, you can delay replacing it. If it is, could you make repairs that will buy you some time before you have to replace it entirely? Maybe you could find a local roofer who maybe is independent. You could certainly get a bid from one of the big companies in town, but maybe somebody who's independent would help you, maybe at with less cost, do a repair job that would get you through until you can save. I think the key is we don't want to go into debt on this. If at all possible. Many times, Daniel, we convince ourselves that we need something when it's really a want. Now, if you absolutely have to make an improvement, a home equity loan is the best way to go. However, in this interest rate environment, you may also want to consider a home equity line of credit, especially if you think you can pay it off in 5 years or less, because that would allow the interest rate to come down through a variable rate as rates fall, which I suspect will begin happening early next year. So, Daniel, I know you've got a lot on your plate here. Hopefully that gives you some thoughts. By the way, if you have a question, send it along. We'd love to hear from you. AskRob@faithfi.com. All right, let's head to the phones. We'll begin today in Louisiana. By the way, some lines open, 800-525-7000. Hi, Joe. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, man, I was just wondering, I see a lot of commercials about this buy gold and all that. I watch Newsmax a lot, and a lot of you people on there are saying invest in precious metals and things like that. And I was just getting your thoughts on it. I'm 61 years old. I have a 401k. My wife's 64. So I'm just, and me and her was talking about it, should we take part of our 401k and invest it in gold or silver?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a place for the precious metals. In fact, they've done well. A lot of folks have been overweighted the precious metals, meaning with a typical range that you might include for your investable assets, they're at the upper end of that range. But I wouldn't go beyond that, especially, just because of the marketing that we're seeing around it. We see a lot of this, Joe, anytime there's uncertainty and fear, obviously the looming recession, what's going on with interest rates, what's happening with the U.S. dollar, all of that is causing folks who sell precious metals to kind of dial up their marketing efforts. This is not new. It happens every time. That doesn't change the fact that, you know, historically speaking, the precious metals have not done as well as a properly diversified equity portfolio stocks. There's more volatility and less performance. The other downside to the precious metals is they don't generate any income, which obviously stocks have the ability to do. So I like you having an allocation of the precious metals as a hedge against inflation. It's a store of value. Some call it a fear trade. It's an uncorrelated asset. So in a properly diversified portfolio, when stocks are falling, a lot of times, depending on what's going on economically, gold is increasing. Not to mention what's happening geopolitically around the world. The BRICS consortium just said they're going to use the gold standard. We'll see if they actually follow through. But that, if they did, that would certainly lead to higher gold prices. That range, though, I think is 10% of your assets or less. I wouldn't go above 10% for the reasons that I mentioned. So I think the question for you is, once you decide on what that allocation is, and again, I'd recommend no more than 10%, then do you want to take physical possession of the gold, like gold coins, for instance, or do you want to buy a gold tracking exchange traded fund where it's tracking the price of gold, but you're buying it as a an ETF in your portfolio, which has, you know, immediate liquidity, meaning you could sell it whenever you want. You should track with the price of the underlying precious metal, in this case, gold. But you also don't have to take physical possession and store it. You don't have any dealer markups on the buy and the sell, that type of thing. I've thrown a lot at you, though. Give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I'm kind of confused for sure now, but anyway.
Tell me what you're confused about. Let me see if I can help.
Well, I mean, take gold, okay? You said I can hold it myself, and then I don't have to pay, you know, somebody to manage it or anything, or I can do it that other way you said.
Yeah. So two ways to buy gold. Number one is you actually buy the physical gold. So you would buy, let's say, the gold coins, and you might put them in a safe deposit box. You could buy, you know, bars. I mean, there you buy the physical gold, and then you have to store it and secure it. Another way is you buy what's called a tracking stock. So essentially, this is not like a mining company where you're investing at a particular company that has sales and earnings. There are what are called exchange-traded funds, which is basically a basket of investments. But in this case, like an example would be the ticker symbol GLD. Basically, that is a tracking stock that just follows the price of gold. So they actually own gold that's backing this. And as the price of gold increases, this tracking exchange traded fund increases with it. As the price of gold falls, it falls. So it's a way for you to have an allocation to gold in your portfolio without you having to buy it, receive it in the mail, put it in a safe deposit box, and secure it. Do you follow that?
I do. And that's, yeah. Which one would you?
It really just depends on what you're looking to do. If you just really want the allocation of gold, the simplest way is the tracking stock. If you want to buy it and hold it forever and you really like having physical possession, you could certainly go that way as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
So glad you called today. We've got a great number of questions holding, and we're looking for to get to those here in just a moment. But we do have a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to tackle it. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let's head right back to the phones to Texas. Griselda, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning. God bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you as well.
Yes. My question is this. My husband, he's a retired federal officer, and he has TSP, and he's about to turn 71 in January, and we were told by 72 he had to take his money out. Now, he doesn't know what to do. Where shall we put it after? We don't need it right now. We don't need any money. At this point, we're fine. I also have my retirement for my 401k. I put it in IRA. I think it was in a Roth IRA. I don't remember. But anyway, so we wanted to have some guidance what to do.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so the typical procedure there would be to take that TSP through savings plan and just roll it out to an IRA. You mentioned you have some other retirement accounts, perhaps a Roth IRA. Where is that account? Who is the custodian?
I have it with Chase.
With Chase, okay. And who's managing that? Who's selecting the investments?
I have someone okay. who's doing that. But it's, I don't want to ask question because they will have some, they might want it for me to put it in what they wanted, in their investment. How do I explain? I don't know how to explain it. I wanted someone who will be partial. So we could tell me, just move it here, move it there.
Yeah. Well, I would typically say, if you have an advisor who's making those decisions for you with other investable assets and you're happy with that relationship and he or she's, been doing a good job for you, then there's no reason not to roll this over to the same place and let that person take over the management of this as well. If you have some concerns about what's being done there, then I might, think about changing that relationship for all of your investment assets. But I like you rolling it out to an IRA, and I would prefer it not to just be on autopilot. I'd rather have somebody, if you're not going to take the time and don't have the expertise to make those investing decisions yourself, I would rather an advisor be doing that. And if you already have an existing relationship, then I would let that person take over. If you want to make a change on all of your investment assets, then I would interview some other advisors. We recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. You could search for a CKA there in Texas on our website at faithfi.com. But if you're happy with that relationship, I would roll it right there.
Okay, so well, not too happy. I froze my last year because I wasn't happy with what was going on.
Okay,
so right. Probably. And you said the name is Kingdom. What is it?
Yeah, it's a designation. It's the only industry designation for men and women who have been trained and committed to bring biblically wise financial advice. So they've met experience requirements and a pastor reference and client references, and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview to financial decision-making, and they've met an experience requirement. So they're very well vetted. They've met high standards, and you can find a CKA by doing a search on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And then just click the button at the top that says Find a CKA, and that stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. And there's 1,300 of them, now 1,400 actually, Griselda, in the country. And there'd be many of them there in Texas. I'd interview two or three that in order to find the one that you feel is the best fit. And you're going to want to ask them about their fee schedule and their experience and, you know, get to know them a good bit and then decide which one is the best fit. What do you all have in total investable assets between the TSP and Chase? How much do you think you have in total?
Let me see. Like about 500.
Okay, about 500,000. Yeah, so that's obviously a significant sum of money that you've spent a long time, you and your husband, amassing, and we want to take good care of that. You know, the challenge with managing money yourself is, you know, you tend to make emotional decisions, you know, especially in this environment right now. This is a classic example where, you know, the market was really struggling, you know, last year. And then, you know, all the economists were saying we're heading into a recession this year. Well, it hasn't come. And the first, you know, 7 months of this year, the market has been really strong. Now, there's still plenty of headwinds out there. So having a skilled advisor who can make a rules-based investment strategy that is appropriate for your age and risk tolerance, not acting emotionally, but really being thoughtful about how to invest the money to protect it first, but then also to grow it, is really what you need. And finding somebody that you just have a good rapport with and you feel like is a good fit for you and your husband, I think that's really key. And then if something were to happen to one of you, the Lord were to call you home, then the other one has a trusted advisor, you know, to turn to for all of the things that need to be done. So I would, I'd interview an advisor. Once you select that Certified Kingdom Advisor, then you'll just want to roll this TSP over with the assets that come from Chase, and then that advisor could manage all of it.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
We didn't know what to do, and I think that's a good tip.
Well, thank
you. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful day, sir.
And you as well, Griselda. We appreciate your call. Quickly to Mississippi, Howard, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I've been retired for about 7 years, and I tithe on my retirement funds that I get. We get four checks a month. And pretty soon, a few years from now, I'll be getting in my Roths and IRAs because you got to take so much money out. Should I tithe on those monies also, or just my retirement funds now?
Yeah, it's a great question. Let's do this, Howard. I'm coming up on a break here, and I want to really help you think through this. You know, there's really two approaches. I mean, tithing pre-retirement's really simple. Whatever your increase is from wages or gifts or tips or an inheritance, you just give a tenth. It's a little more challenging in retirement. The simple solution is just tithe on the total received income. The second is to tithe on the growth, but not the principal, assuming you've been tithing along the way. I'll help you unpack those, and we'll see if we can help you move forward in how to approach this. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. Much more to come.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
What did you do last year that will last for eternity? Did you live for Jesus or did you live for yourself? How much time and money did you invest in God's kingdom? Did you treat people the way the Bible teaches or did you live a selfish life? Did you give God your first and best or did He get the leftovers? You can start making changes today that will matter for eternity. Don't put it off. Don't waste another year. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today for your questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to a caller who could not hold, but he was asking about how to think about tithing in retirement. And there really are two approaches. The simple approach is just to say, I'm going to tithe on everything that I have coming in because I'm going to treat it all as an increase. And so even though technically if I've been tithing along the way throughout my working years on the gross amount, I've already tithed on some of what I put in, although a portion of what you're receiving, whether it's Social Security or a retirement account, would be a appreciated growth, and that would not have been tithed on. So you essentially just tithe on the whole thing, and that makes it really simple. The second approach is to tithe on the growth, but not the principal. In this option, you would essentially calculate each income source, such as an IRA, Social Security, or pension, separately. Basically, if you think about the various income sources you have, for instance, if we were to look at your retirement account, your 401k or IRA, you could calculate the total amount that you put in throughout your working years, figure out how much of that, what percentage of that account is represented by your initial contributions, and therefore the remaining percentage of that is the appreciation. And then as you take each check out, let's say on a monthly basis or once a year through a required minimum, you would just tithe on that percentage that's allocated toward the appreciation. You could do the same with your Social Security benefits. You could actually pull a benefit statement. It lists how much you paid into Social Security during your working years. If you've got a pension, your employer's pension pays you a retirement income stream, then you would have to do the same thing as with Social Security to determine how much you contributed toward your benefits. So, you know, if you want to take that approach, it will take a little bit of legwork, but I think by not going so far as to try to get it down to the penny, because the goal here is not to be legalistic or check a box. You really just want to honor the Lord. That's where I think doing some of these simple calculations and then kind of settling into a percentage makes some sense. Or you just keep it simple and give on all of it and see it as a gracious gift from the Lord. But I hope that helps you. We do have a great resource on our website at faithfi.com. The title is How to Tithe in Retirement. And it actually will walk you through each of these ideas and give you some really helpful insights. Just go to faithfi.com, click the search button, and search for How to Tithe in Retirement. I hope that helps you. All right, back to the phones we go. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Lucy. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to ask you, how do I go about finding a credit card that's more of a Patriot American card, like, you know, like Capital One or Citi Card or Visa? Can you kind of coach me? I use my credit cards, but I always have them at zero because I pretty much like to get their rewards. You know, okay. A lot of them have 2% cash back or whatever. So can you please coach me on that?
Yes, I'd be delighted to. You know, I think when we want to make decisions with God's money, we need to start with our values and priorities. It sounds like that's exactly what you're doing here, Lucy. I'm vaguely familiar with the Patriot Federal Credit Union credit card. It doesn't get great reviews. You know, if you look at Bankrate or NerdWallet, it doesn't get great reviews, and you'd have to be a member of that particular credit union to get it. One option, though, that I really like that I think would at least be worth looking at is the credit card that comes from the Christian Community Credit Union. They actually have several different rewards credit cards, but one of the benefits is they actually take a portion of what they receive from the merchant rebate every time you use it, and they help various ministries when you use the card. So, you know, ministries all over the globe sharing the gospel, you know, helping in human trafficking, just a wonderful option to support Christian causes, but also give you the ability to use the card and the convenience that that offers. So I would check that one out, Lucy. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The other way to go to actually look for some of these, what I'll call niche credit cards, is to use one of the credit card review services like bankrate.com or nerdwallet.com. Either of those would be great to help you find exactly what you're looking for, but I would also check out that Christian Community credit card, okay?
Oh, yes. I did open up an account with Christian Community, so I forgot about, you know, looking into them. All right. I just wanted to touch base with you. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you did, and God bless you, Lucy. Thanks for being a part of the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you have a question today, we'd love to tackle it with you and see if we can help you navigate through whatever's going on in your financial life. Let me also mention Bob Dahl coming up in our next segment of the broadcast. A lot going on in the markets. This is a huge week for economic data. All eyes on the Fed with their meeting coming up this week. We're expecting a rate hike. We'll get Bob's thoughts on the recent market action plus the data that we're expecting out this week. That's coming up in our next segment. Back to the phones with a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now to Arkansas. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great.
Listen, I've got a question. I've always been told, I'm close to retirement age, I'm 59. I've always been told that you want to wait as long as possible to start withdrawing Social Security benefits. But when I put my spreadsheet together, if I start taking it at 62 versus 70, the maximum funds, I'll break even about 83. So I just want to get your input on that.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. I mean, that's basically where it would come out. You know, if you're in good health and the Lord tarries, maybe you've got some longevity in your family history, it can make some sense, especially if you don't need the money early. Now, if it's going to really hinder your lifestyle, you're wanting to retire early, maybe you can't continue to work, that's a different story. But if you have the ability to cover your expenses and let that continue to grow, you know, life expectancy when you reach age 65 is in fact, 83 plus. Now, our break even that we typically look at is closer to 79. And, you know, so obviously if you've run the numbers based on your actual record, then that may be a little better in terms of your numbers. But the nice thing is that, you know, once you kind of, you know, get past that period where you're paying yourself back for the years you didn't take it, you've got that higher payout for the rest of your life. But there is the, you know, money that you're giving up during those earlier years that you could have used and enjoyed and so forth. So there is a trade-off. I mean, one option is to say, okay, I may not go all the way to 70, but what if rather than taking it at 62, I wait until full retirement age, which is going to give me a check about 30% higher than if you take it at 62. So I think you've just got to find the sweet spot for you to be able to enjoy the money, have the money you need to be able to cover your expenses, but also maximize that check in a way that makes sense. Do you follow all that?
Yep, I'm following you. Okay. I guess right now I'm struggling with whether the Lord's going to want me to keep working or retire early.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a big part of this. So you pray through that. And I think, you know, as long as you continue to work, I would certainly delay. But once you're done and you need the money, then you enjoy it. We appreciate your call, Pat. We'll be right back.
As Christians, we cannot redefine marriages because ours do not turn out according to God's standard. We have to aim for the mark. And the mark, it's not happily ever after. This is a picture of Christ in the church. So God has invited us as two individuals becoming one to be a living billboard of what he did for us.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
So glad you could join us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Barbara, Eddie, we're going to get to you in just a moment. If you all can hold right there. It's Monday, which means in our final segment, our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, and you can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, good afternoon. It's been a couple of weeks. Great to have you.
Happy Monday to you, my friend.
Boy, there's a lot going on in the markets. We picked a busy couple of weeks to not have you join us. So tell me what you're watching this week. Obviously, big news expected on Wednesday with the Fed, but give us a preview of what's to come.
Yeah, the Fed, without question, the futures curve suggests 99% probability that they will raise rates another 25 basis points. So everybody's on that page. We will have amazing amounts of earnings reports coming out. This week's the heaviest week of the year. And Friday, we will get the Fed's favorite inflation number, core PCE, personal consumption expenditures. So all the news that's fit to print will come out this week. In the last couple of weeks, Rob, we've seen growth expectations for the U.S. economy revised somewhat higher. And some people who were calling for a recession, taking that off the table, or those of us who still think we might have one, pushing it back in time. And that's resulted, as you know, we've talked about this before, in the market broadening beyond just that, super seven stocks, the mega caps. The market has broadened out somewhat, which is good news.
Yeah, it sure is, Bob. I mean, obviously, you're in the camp of those that believe we'll still have a recession. It may just take a little longer to get here. Perhaps it's mild. But what are you watching today that, you know, despite the stronger than expected earnings and the resiliency of this economy, what are you really looking at that would lead you to believe that really we're still going to see that recession?
Well, so the indicators of recession that have been reliable throughout history are things like the leading economic indicators.
Yeah.
Last week, they fell for the 15th consecutive month. That's the longest string since the 2007-8 episode, leading to the horrible problems we had in 2008 and 9, if you remember. The money supply continues to drop. It's hard to see with inflation down from its peak, but nowhere near the Fed's target. Hard to see us getting that down without some economic pain. So, yes, this has all been pushed back and to the right, but I don't think it's onward and upward from here, Rob.
Okay, very good. Give us an update on what's happening with China. You know, we've heard quite a bit just with regard to, you know, they're missing their growth forecasts, and perhaps they're in a more prolonged slowdown here. Also, you know, your comments this week about China-U.S. relations. So maybe just give us an overview.
Yeah, the U.S.-China relationship is so important, the two largest powers in the world. And as we've talked before, China is struggling with a vastly aging population and some real estate problems. But on top of that, we're just seeing the various sides. And the U.S. has attempted in a variety of ways, three or four trips in the last, call it, 6 months, and nothing seems to be improving. So we've got to watch this very, very carefully. China has got their hands full. Not that we don't here in the U.S. have our own problems, but that relationship we've got to watch very, very carefully, Rob.
Yeah, interesting. And then, Bob, finally, what about bonds? Obviously, a lot of folks keeping their eyes on government bond yields. How does that play into all of this?
Well, in broad strokes, a 3.5% to 4% 10-year treasury is a whole lot more interesting than 1.5% where it was at the start of last year. So we want people to own some bonds. We think 10-year treasuries above 4 is a good buying point. Below 3.5 could be a trim point. So we're kind of in no man's land. But you need some bonds in your portfolio in this environment where stocks are fairly expensive.
Okay, very good. Well, I know it's going to be a busy week, Bob. We'll certainly look forward to getting your analysis next Monday on the heels of all of this data from this week, but we appreciate you stopping by.
Talk then. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly market commentary, Dahl's Deliberations, at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones. Eddie, we'll come your way in just a moment. Barbara in Indiana, let's go to your question next. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Yes, thank you. I appreciated your segment earlier on retirement and tithing. My question, there's some similarities to that. I am retiring here shortly, but I'm doing that by way of selling my company. So I'll be having a large sum of money coming in at the end of the year. And my question is, and I'll be investing that and drawing upon that to replace what had previously been an income or just distribution of profits. So do I tithe on the large sum, or do I wait until I draw upon it, from my, because I will have it in different investment vehicles?
Yeah. Well, whenever you're selling an asset like a business, if you want to apply the principle of the tithe, you would tithe on what is considered the increase from that business. Now, one of the more effective ways, Barbara, to do that is if you decide how much you want to give out of that sale of the business, I would consider, and this is going to sound a lot more complicated than it is, I would consider giving a percentage of your business equal to the amount you want to give away to your donor advised fund. And if that's a new term to you, think of that as a charitable checking account. You would set up a donor advised fund. I'd recommend you do it at the National Christian Foundation. They call it a giving fund. You would make a gift of a percentage of your business prior to the sale to your donor advised fund. Then when you sell it, that portion would fund the account. But here's the great opportunity for you, is it would not be subject to capital gains taxes. You wouldn't pay any tax on that portion, which means now you have more money to give away. But it has to be done prior to the sale. Is that something you think you might be interested in?
Absolutely. I actually have a donor advisory fund, so I hadn't thought of that, though, so thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think that's great. And that way, what you could do is you could actually fund it with whatever portion. Let's say you wanted to do 10% of the proceeds of the sale. You gift 10% of the business. They'd help you do it to your DAF. And then you can give that away in whatever time period you want. You want to give it all away right away? You can do that. You want to give it away over time? You could do that as well. So you've got plenty of options there. But I like the idea of you setting that amount aside up front as opposed to just tithing on it as you pull the money out. All right?
I do too. Thank you so much.
All right, Barbara. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. We've got room for maybe one more question today, 800-525-7000. To Arkansas we go. Hi, Eddie. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, at first I'd like to say I love your show. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
I have a two-part question.
Sure.
On tithing, do we tithe, my wife and I, do we tithe on our gross or net? And also, I have a ministry, Hats for Christ, Addicted to Jesus, where I buy hats and give out and tell my testimony of how he freed me from addiction. And we spend about $300 to $400 a month on hats for my ministry.
Yeah.
And as of right now, we have been including that as part of our tithe. Should that just be something separate and put a full tithe towards what we bring in?
Yeah. It's great questions, Eddie. And I so appreciate your desire to honor the Lord in giving. Let me back up and just say this. First of all, in truth, tithing is an Old Testament concept. I mean, in fact, while the tithe means 10% or a tenth, there was actually three tithes in the Old Testament, one for the Levites, one for the temple, and one for the poor that occurred every 3 years. If you add it all up, it was actually 23 1/3%. And that was just the beginning, because then they had the first fruits tithe at the beginning of the harvest, and then they would make an offering at the Feast of Weeks in proportion to the size of the harvest, and there was other feasts as well. So Old Testament giving laws went far beyond 10%, but here's the reality. When Jesus enters the scene, we're no longer under the law of Moses, we're under the law of Christ. He takes giving to an even higher level. I think he shows us a different way of giving. I'll call it whole life generosity. Ultimately, he gave his life as a sacrifice for all of us. When he talked about money, Eddie, he taught us we should give as we've been blessed in Luke 6. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. He, the most famous giver in the New Testament is, we don't know her name, we just know she was a poor widow who gave her last two coins, giving out of her poverty. He, of course, challenged the rich young ruler to give away all of his wealth, the senator. So I think as we approach our giving, I love the principle of the tithe. I think it's a great starting point. And if we want to follow that principle, we would give a tenth on our increase. And I think just based on the model in Scripture, we start with our local church. And then we give beyond that sacrificially. And we realize that giving can be an act of worship. Giving is what demonstrates our trust in the Lord, saying, God, I realize that I don't have to keep everything you entrust to me. I'm dependent upon you, and so I can return a portion of it to you to participate in your activity, which is a privilege you give me. And ultimately, I know that as I give, it breaks the grip of money over our lives. Money has a way of kind of having a stronghold over our hearts, and generosity is the way we loosen that grip. Now, what does that all mean? Well, that means it's ultimately between you and the Lord. This is not a matter of checking a box or being legalistic, but I think the tithe is the beginning point of our giving. It's what my friend Randy Alcorn calls the training wheels of giving. So how would I approach this? Well, Larry Burkett used to say, tithing on gross or net, have you been blessed gross or net? And I think in a tongue-in-cheek way, he was saying, you know what, everything we have is a gracious gift of God. So let's give on our first fruits, which would be the gross income. And then I love what you're doing with the hats. What an incredible ministry. But what I would say is for your tithe, if that's the principle you want to follow, I would give that to your local church off of your first fruits, off of the whole increase that you receive from your wages to your salary to whatever it is. And then maybe your hat ministry is a part of your sacrificial giving. Ultimately, it's you between you and the Lord, so I'd pray about it. Eddie, thanks for calling today. I hope that's helpful. Thanks to my team today, Jim, Devin, and Adam. Couldn't do it without them. Robert Youngblood as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us next time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.